College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to WTIC's Pet Talk. Today, Lori Fast takes your pet behavior questions. This is a show for you and your best friend. Call in now at 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, or star WTIC from your cell phone if you have AT&T Wireless. And now, Pet Talk.
Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of Pet Talk. I'm here live in the studio, and if you want to call in, you are very welcome to at 860-522-WTIC. And today is the behavior edition, so if you have any questions or comments about your pet's behavior, this is the show to call in. Now, I had said on a previous show, but you know, I don't know if everybody knows this, hangs on my words. I recognize that I actually sometimes say I'm going to be on the air and I mess it up. That's why I post it on my website. If you really want to know, if I post it on my website, I usually get that right. But anyway, I was supposed to have Liz Bennett as a guest today, and she's not here, but she is on the phone. So we're going to see if we can get her up on the air on the phone. Hi, Liz. Are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
Well, you're here in voice, but not actually in person.
There you go. I'm live from my office in Southwick. So, yeah.
So, what did you say that you had to do some kind of fundraiser or something?
Yeah, we're having a up in Southwick behind the Southwick Inn, which is a little restaurant right on the corner of 10202 and Granville Road. They're having this tag sale, it's a craft sale, mm-hmm. and it's to benefit the Southwick Animal Control Facility, which is really cool.
Okay.
And the guys that are putting in, I've already been shopping there, and now I have to go back and actually buy the stuff that I said I wanted.
Okay.
So I'm going to be poor by the time the afternoon is over.
All right, so how long is this going on for today?
Till 3:00 this afternoon.
Okay, so anybody that's out in that neck of the woods that wants to stop by, they can say hi to you, get some crafts, help the shelter.
Oh, sure. There's some cool stuff out here you can buy, so.
Oh, boy.
Come on down.
I need more stuff.
I know, exactly. That's why I'm going to be poor by the time this is over. Anyway, how are you?
I'm okay. I do two group classes on Saturday mornings. So, I had to rush home. One of my dogs is sick. I had to take care of him, make sure everybody has pee and poo, and then run out here. And so I get here like right exactly at the last minute, and probably made Kevin, our producer, nervous.
I know the feeling.
Yeah, no lag time. So I come into, okay, here I am. So anyway, so I know you were going to be here, but then you forgot about this. But I have two shows, two dates. I shout out to you for May.
Yep.
On the 6th and I think the 22nd. So maybe you can come to one of those.
You bet.
Okay.
You bet. I got to remember which one I said yes to.
You didn't say yes to either one.
I'm going. I'll be
out
there.
On this date or that date, but you didn't give me a commitment. But, I have to be here regardless. So the only difference is if you're not here, then I just basically talk to myself and anybody else who wants to call in.
I talk to myself a lot, too.
Okay. All right. Well,
this is good.
I had mentioned to you Kathleen, who has the puppies, and I told her that you were going to be on the air, but I see that she's actually calling too to talk about the puppies. So
I can go on hold.
Let's put you on hold. If I hang up, I want to hear about these puppies. Me back. I'm like so bad with these buttons. So let me put you on hold, which I think is the square button. Hold on a second. Kevin, is the hold the square? Yeah, okay. Not the X.
Okay,
I can put you on the square. Okay, all right.
Okay, I'll be square.
All right, and it's nothing's happening here. Hold on. Okay, now, Kathleen.
Hi, Lori.
Hi. Okay, I'm operating the controls here effectively so far. Yeah, I had Liz was just talking to me. She was going to be here in person, but she has a fundraiser she had to do. And I had emailed her about the puppies that you have. And I'm supposing that since we talked and I met your puppies last week, that you wanted that. That's why you're calling. You're calling about the puppies, right?
Yeah, just to talk about them. Whatever you want to talk about or tell people about them, but I could always use some more training tips because training three puppies all at once is really hard.
Well, yeah, and then you have the other dogs too. So just, I'm going to give a little synopsis of the situation, and if you want to chime in, you know, just interrupt me. But basically, Kathleen, who, you live in West Suffield, right?
Correct, yep.
Okay, and you have your stepson's two adult dogs, and one of the adult dogs is a Cane Corso, and she happened to be pregnant. And oddly enough, she was pregnant with your stepson's girlfriend's dog, who was a Pomsky, which is a Pomeranian husky mix. And so these puppies are a very unusual mix of Cane Corso, which is like a mastiffy big breed, although your dog is a little on the small side for that breed of dog, and then a Pomeranian and a Husky. And like, what do you get when you mix all those things together? So I came out to your house last week. Was it last week?
Correct. Yep.
Okay. And, you know, I kind of wanted, yeah, I'm curious. What do these guys look like? Honestly, if they were in a shelter, I would suppose that people might say, hey, these are Labrador mixes because their fur is about that length and that texture. And two of them are sort of a chocolate color. So, you know, if I didn't know any better, I could say, oh, well, they're part chocolate lab, because that's usually, you know, the way shelters kind of identify dogs. And then the smaller of them, because there were six altogether, and you placed three and you still have three left. And the smallest one is like a brindle color. And they, I am guessing, weight, the littler one is like maybe 45 and the bigger one is closer to 55. Is that about right?
We just weighed them. The littlest one is 41 and the next medium one is 46 and the Remy is 51.
Oh, okay. So I'm not that far off. I can.
And they're 7 months old now.
Oh, they're seven months. Old now. Okay, they're 7 months.
And they're still tracking on the Husky weight chart, somewhere between Husky and Cane Corso, but they're not going to be. The mom's 85 pounds and the dad was 45 pounds.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I don't think they're going to be big. Like, they're probably like the size of a Husky, I would say. That sounds about
right.
Yeah, 60 pounds. Yeah. So anyway, so you have, you know, your son's two dogs, these three puppies, and one of your own dogs. And, you know, when I came out to see the puppies, I wasn't really sure what they were going to look like. But also, I wasn't sure what they were going to act like because, you know, you have all these puppies all being raised in a pile and they're 7 months old. Sometimes that's not good, but I was actually very surprised, pleasantly so, at you actually did a very good job of, you know, they were walking with you beautifully on the leash. They were jumpy, but hey, you know what, 7 month old puppy isn't jumpy, especially when they
you were a new person. You were new.
New, yay.
A new visitor.
But
a new visitor.
They were very friendly. They were very responsive to training. You know, a lot of times when you have puppies like that, they get skitterish with people, but they weren't. And, you know, the little bit of training that we did do with them, they responded to it right away. And in your case, I think it's just like, you know, how many puppies can you train simultaneously? You know, it's like a magic act or something. But anyway, so at this point, you still
well,
have
that's
the,
all we do, Laurie. You know, we're home 24/7. We're retired.
Well,
so.
You know, I think you need to have
they've been our babies for 7 months. That's why they're just so they listen and they talk. And it's,
well, you put a lot of time in and, you know, definitely shows they're crate trained. That's good. I'd consider them partially housebroken. I wouldn't trust them.
Oh, they're good now, Laurie.
Oh, are they? Oh, cool.
A week later. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So they're very responsive. You know, you just put a little time in. They're great. So bottom line here is that you are still looking to place these three girls, right?
In homes, you know.
Yes, in homes, not any old place, but somebody who is going to be responsible, somebody's going to continue their training. So if somebody out there is listening and this sounds like it might be of interest to you, I think maybe the best way to do it would be if they contact me and then I pass them along to you.
Sure.
Okay, yeah. So if people were going to contact me, just go to my website, LoriFastDogTraining.com, and get my email, get my phone number, and tell me, you know, you're interested in one of these puppies maybe, and I can do a pre-screening for you, Kathleen, and then kind of pass them along. But, you know, I think they're great dogs. They really are nice dogs. So, you know, I was very surprised. I mean, I'm happy that they're nice dogs because I know you're trying to place them, and if they were problems with them, you know, I wouldn't be quite so enthusiastic to.
They've got really good temperaments. The Cane Corso mom is just such a nice dog. Oh, she's such a nice dog.
Yes.
And the Pomsky dad, he's equally nice.
Yeah,
and they're just gentle. They're gentle. They both listen. And the mom has helped me train these puppies for 7 months.
Yeah, well, I really think they're great. And I guess if I thought the puppies were not very nice dogs, what I probably would do is I wouldn't have invited you to call onto the air today. That's how that would have went. Okay. So, yeah, good luck with that, you know. But I really did like them. I think they're really great. And, you know, somebody, you know, a lot of times, I mean, people get dogs from Tennessee. They meet them off the truck. They have no idea what they're getting. And with these guys, you know, you know, I think these are great dogs. If you're looking for a medium size to large dog, puppy, you know, just get in touch with me. And I'm just putting the word out there for you, Kathleen. So, and then
I can talk a little bit more about Adele. And Adele, Remy is the 51 pounder.
Uh-huh.
Adele is the 45 pounder. And
yep.
Sophie is the 41 pounder.
Okay.
And Remy and Adele are brown and white. But they're like dark brown and not dark
like
brown.
Like a chocolate color.
Chocolate brown and white. But they have brindle legs and a brindle belly.
Mm-hmm.
Brown and white brindle legs and brown brindle belly from their brindle mother, who
right.
is black and white.
Yeah.
But they have husky noses and Cane Corso floppy ears.
Yeah.
And Remy has a straight tail like a Cane Corso, but Adele has a curly tail like a husky.
Nobody's going to be able to remember that. If we gave a quiz now, nobody would be able to get
Only a mother would be talking like this.
Yeah, I think people are going to have to go out and see them. But, you know, I thought, like I told Liz about it. I think she's going to keep her eyes and ears open. And, you know, she's listening right now. I put her on hold because I'm, you know, I don't
Does
know.
Does she have
I'm
any questions? Where's Liz from?
Liz? Where is she? She's up in the northwest part of the state. So she's
Bandit Place.
Yeah, Bandit Place. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So anyway, so she's listening to this, and other people are listening too. So we're putting the word out. So is there anything else that you want to share before I go to the next caller or go to a break? I think we might need to go to a break.
No, I think we're just they just love cardboard boxes.
Yeah, well, the cardboard box kit. I used to like cardboard boxes when I was a kid.
When they save them, demolish a cardboard box, they think they've done a fine job.
Oh, yeah. Well, cardboard boxes are great for children, cats, dogs. They're multi-purpose. Okay, well, I'm glad you called in, and hopefully, you know, we can connect you to the right people and get these guys some good homes. That would be great. So I'm happy
to
call
you.
And, you know, if you wanted to call me off the air anytime, you're always welcome, okay?
Okay, good. I will. Thanks.
All righty. Take care now.
Bye now. Okay. Bye now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. All righty. So I think if I'm reading this correctly, we have two people on hold and Liz, but we also need to go to a break. Okay, so if you're on hold, just stay on hold and we'll be right back.
I'm gonna buy me a bulldog. Watch my lady. Watch
Hello, and welcome back to WTIC's Pet Talk. You're listening to Lori Fass on this behavior edition of the show. Next week will be the veterinary edition, and after that, we're rotating, and I had said to people, if you really want to know when I'm going to be on the air, just check my website, LoriFastDogTraining.com. It's not always me 1 week, Dr. Dennis the next week. Sometimes we mix it up a little bit for a variety of reasons. Life interferes with these absolute shifts. We can't always do it that way. But anyway, the next call I'm going to take is, Kevin had said that somebody was having trouble getting through to Dr. Dennis, so let's see what that's all about. Hello, is this Chris?
Hi. This is not about train. It's more about dog food.
Dog poop?
No, not poop. Dog food.
Dog food. Okay. Were you the person who wanted to know Dr. Dennis's telephone number?
No.
Okay, well, I don't know. Somebody. Okay. All right. Well, we'll talk about food then. Okay. What about food? What did you want to know?
No, I just had a question. My dog's going to be 6 months the end of April, and he's Larbi. He's a Bernese Mountain Dog.
Uh-huh.
And I heard different things. Like, he's on puppy food now. I'm just wondering when, because he's growing really fast, and I heard some things that saying that if you feed puppy food too long, that it does something to them orthopedically.
Well, I mean, a lot of breeders of large breed dogs don't feed their dogs puppy food at all.
Really?
Yeah. And a lot of dogs at 6 months old don't want to eat puppy food.
Oh, I think he'll do either.
I mean, some dogs will eat anything at any time. They don't care what it is, okay? But a lot of dogs, when they get to be around 6 months old, stop really wanting to eat the puppy food. And then people start weaning in the adult food. But, I mean, just as a general rule of thumb, I would say there's no harm in just giving him adult food, if that's the question. I don't think he needs puppy food.
Well, I'm just wondering if, you know, is he getting all the nutrients from a regular...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he is.
Growing?
Yeah, I think the main difference between the puppy food and the adult food is not that it has more nutrients, but I think it has more calories. I mean, if a dog is in a rapid growth phase, they kind of need more calories, but if they're not, they really don't. And as a general rule of thumb, I think, you know, that the adult food is perfectly fine, especially at 6 months old.
Oh, okay.
Is that was the question?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm thinking it's poop. I'm thinking it's phone numbers. Okay. So we got that squared away. Okay.
All right, Laura. Thanks so much.
Okay. Take care now.
Bye.
Bye
now.
Bye.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so, hi, Peter.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. You're on the air. I have no idea what your question is, but
I won't suggest that
it's poop.
right. Yes, that's the
thing.
It's
Earth Day. Maybe that's relevant. I don't know.
Right. I have an 11-and-a-half-year-old.
Peter, hey, guess what? It's the bottom of the hour. Would you be offended if I put you on hold and then came back?
No, I understand. Okay, I totally understand.
We'll be right back. I'm doing my timing badly today. So I'll put you on hold. I'll be right back.
No problem. Okay, thanks.
Hello. You're listening to WTIC's Pet Talk. Where else would you get music like that? I don't know. So anyway, before the break, I was talking to Peter. I put him on hold. I did not hang up on him. And now I'm going to get him back on the air. Hi, Peter.
Hi. How are you?
Okay. So I didn't hang up on you, and still here.
I appreciate you coming back. Okay. Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much.
So what can I help you with today?
Well, I have a altogether wonderful 11-and-a-half-year-old dog, mixed breed. I adopted her when she was 7 months. She's, you know, wonderful in a million ways. But there's a behavioral thing, which I assume is a behavioral thing, that I've grown concerned about. She seems to be virtually obsessed with licking her feet.
Well, does she lick anything else or just her feet?
No, just her feet. Yeah. She likes to lick my face or, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, I mean, obsessively. There's licking. Okay, so when she's licking her feet, is she irritating her feet?
Not that I can see, no. It certainly hasn't affected her mobility in any way or her activity level. But when I leave her to herself, mm-hmm. you know, if she's just sitting on the floor or sitting up on my bed or whatever, she'll just start licking her feet and continues to do so. And
it didn't even
seem to be related to the time of day. It's any time of day.
Have you had your veterinarian look at her feet and see if there's anything funny with her feet?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
And in fact, it was at her last annual checkup, which was in November. And the vet suggested that perhaps she needed an allergy shot, mm-hmm. Maybe. And that might have been October. So there might have been seasonal allergy issues or something like that, was a possibility as far as the vet was concerned.
So she gave
her a shot.
Okay, and then what happened?
And nothing. It didn't impact.
She continued to lick her feet.
Correct.
Okay. So when she's licking her feet, such a weird conversation here. When she's licking her feet, how much time, ballpark, would you say she's spending licking her feet?
Well, she could easily, focus for 5 minutes or more licking her feet, mm-hmm. but then she'll wrap it up, but then it could be a half an hour later and she's at it again.
So at one stretch of time, it's maybe 5 minutes?
Yeah, I would say that's a reasonable amount.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, it could be behavior. It could be a lot of things. But why don't we hit it from a couple of different angles here? Why don't you try giving her feet like a little rinse off a couple times a day with some water and a diluted like a little bit of vinegar solution?
Oh, okay.
Okay, and just
how much? What would you say is
like maybe 2 tablespoons of vinegar in like a gallon of water or something like that?
Okay,
ballpark.
Okay, all right. That's easy.
If there's any kind, it could be white vinegar or apple cider vinegar, just not like balsamic vinegar. Don't use that. Okay.
Okay. All right. Very good.
See if there's and it's possible there's some maybe yeasty kind of thing going on in there. And if you give her vinegar soaks, you don't have to keep it in there all day. Just totally saturate it. Get your rub her feet in between the toes and on top, and see if that isn't helpful in some kind of way. Then the other thing is, let's just say that it's just totally in her head. I don't know. Does she have other things that she likes to chew on?
She's never been particularly interested. I mean, I in chewing stuff, unless it's actual food. I mean, I used to give her these big giant, like beef or whatever, bones from the butcher at the grocery store.
Okay.
But then she cracked a tooth, and the vet said, don't give her those bones anymore. So I don't at all.
Okay.
But she has a wide assortment of like Nyla bone chews and so forth, that, she chews them for a short time and then just,
a bully stick or a ear or some other animal delicious body part of some sort?
All right. Well,
I'm
sure I have, but that would be quite a long time ago. Again, I think if it's something that she can eat and consume as food, she'll eat pretty much anything.
Okay. Well, some of those kinds of chews are, it takes a while for them to break them and eat them. You just want to make sure she doesn't get it to a point of choking on it.
If
it does have some food, if it has, some food value, but it's also designed as a chew, that might help distract her. And then a product that I talk about quite a lot on the air, usually not for this purpose, but this is what it was designed for, is bitter apple.
Oh.
So,
Where do I get that?
Pretty much anywhere. I mean, you can get it online. It's Granix Bitter Apple, and it has a lot of alcohol in it, but if you're spraying her feet, the alcohol soaks through surfaces, so that's why it's got alcohol in it. I usually suggest people using it for other things, but I won't get into that because we're not talking about that. But anyway, you could tell her, leave it, and then just squirt, squirt, squirt the bitter apple on her feet.
Okay, so the scene is then she's licking her feet, and I literally, and by the way, oftentimes I will say to you, say to her, you know, no, and I just put my hand on her foot, and she kind of stops. And I think maybe I've communicated at some level that that's an undesirable behavior. But so the issue would be then for me to say specifically, leave it or no or whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, you can say anything spray. You want. Yeah, you can say any word you want, you know, as long as it's consistent. And, you know, but I would try the vinegar, and then I would see if you can't give her something else to distract her attention. But if this is like a really big habit, you know, if you have a command to stop, then you don't have to have a goal be that she'll never lick her feet. But the goal will be that if you say stop, she has to stop.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, that's helpful. That gives me at least a couple of things to try. And I'll look up this bitter apple thing. And
I've seen it on Amazon. Some pet stores carry it, some don't. I mean, there's a lot of different types of sprays that don't taste good, but this one seems to work the best. So it's made by Granix, and it comes in a yellow and green label. And it's Granix Bitter Apple, yeah.
Okay.
If you have trouble finding it, send me an email and I'll send you a link.
Brilliant. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate all your input, and I'll give those things a try and see what the outcome is.
Okay, and then shoot me out an email. Let me know how it worked out, okay?
Very good. And what is your email?
It's Lori@LoriFastDogTraining.com. But if that's a mouthful, just check my website, which is LoriFastDogTraining.
It's LoriFast, F-A-S-T?
Just two S's, F-A-S-S.
Oh, Fast. Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Brilliant.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Okay,
I appreciate your help.
Take care now.
Right on. Bye-bye.
Okay, let's see. We did not hang up on. There we go. Liz, are you still there?
I am still here.
Awesome. Could you hear all of the call? I mean, I don't know. Like, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
On the last guy with the itchies.
Yeah.
I wonder, because we had a guy that had adopted from me years and years ago. He called me up and he said, you know, my dog is doing great, but all of a sudden he comes in the camper and he starts sneezing.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, did you change your carpet in the camper? He said, yeah. He said, okay, that's why she's having, I said, that may be why she's having the issue.
Yeah.
So I wonder if this gentleman either cleaned his carpets or did something along that, even lime. Remember when our parents used to lime our lawns? I would come in, my feet would itch like crazy.
But that's part of, you know, like clicking clean. That's why I said give the rinse.
Yeah.
But also, if that it was worked. An allergy reaction, wouldn't the allergy shot that the vet had given alleviate?
I don't know. But what is that? What is the allergy shot focused on?
Well,
you know what I mean? Is it like
it's not on? It's not like an allergy shot. I mean, I'm assuming. So
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
There's different allergy shots that are just cover everything. It's not like, well, here's an allergy shot for, you know, dandelions
and trees or for whatever,
cats or whatever. So I think we've got a generalized kind of antihistamine type. I don't know if it's antihistamine, but something anti-itchy, allergy, whatever.
Yeah. Well, and plus, you know, when Wilbur, you remember Wilbur, my little baby, when he started getting old, he started becoming senile.
Mm-hmm.
So could that also be a senility thing?
No, because he said the dog was a year and a half.
Oh, I thought he said it was 11.
Well, maybe he did say 11, but I didn't think he said
11. Ooh, I don't know.
We're going to have to get him back on the air. But I wasn't under the impression that, I was an older dog. I was under the impression
it
was
God.
A younger dog.
Oh, I don't know. I thought he said like 11 and a half, but that's okay. It doesn't matter. But anyway, so I don't know. I love to hear your advice because it cracks me up because it usually works.
Well,
it was funny
because I was thinking just sort of, I don't know, doing a life review or something. I don't know why I'm just thinking about how long have I been doing this, you know?
We're not that old.
I've been doing this since 1975.
Right. Okay, I'm only 25 years in rescue. You're older than me.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been doing this long enough that I've literally seen thousands and thousands of dogs and worked with thousands and thousands of dogs and people. So, you know, I try to remain open-minded and try to learn something new because everybody's different. Right. Every dog is different. So
this is true.
You know, so when I give advice, it's like based on that many years of giving advice, you know? And so when I look back at some of the stuff that I did, I say, oh boy, wow, what was I thinking there, you know? Because kind of like if I knew then what I know now, I'd be like, okay, you really want to do that, you know? Come on now. And you make enough mistakes that it's like, okay, we're not doing that one again.
Exactly.
You know?
And then one of the, you know, you live and learn.
Well, then I also have a challenge of it's not just me and an animal. It's me and the person that I'm coaching with the animal. And I've made a lot of mistakes assuming that if I say this, people are going to do this. And no, they do something completely different. And, you know.
Yeah.
So
that's my job, too.
So, I mean, and that's normal if you're learning something new that you're going to mess it up.
Right.
But the degrees and ways in which people mess things up never ceases to amaze me.
No.
You know what I mean?
Nope.
I can
nope.
say, do not do this, and people will do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I try to remember. I think I'm pretty good at doing these kinds of things, so I pick up this sort of stuff easy. But I try to remind myself, what is it like to learn something that you're not good at? You know?
Well, even still, even more than that, if you tell somebody, this is what I want you to do, and they, you know, they're only half. Because they've already got their response planned out. Do you know what I mean?
Well, a lot of it is work. You know, I was speaking to somebody yesterday.
Yeah.
And the woman Kathleen who called in, okay, she's got too many dogs. But you know what? She is working her butt off to get these dogs under control. And, you know, she's done a pretty good job. I'm actually pretty impressed. So
I still want to see pictures.
Well, I'll have to ask her to email and if she can forward them directly. But I'm working with this other woman. She has six dogs. She lives in a house by a busy intersection. So there's a lot of traffic of people and animals and this and that and the other. So she's got six dogs. All of them have some sort of behavior problem or another. Okay. And, you know, she said to me, the reason I didn't want to have kids is because I didn't want to have to donate all this time to, you know, trying to, I said, well, I guess karma's got you this time because there's no way you're going to solve six dog behavior problems quickly.
Mm-mm.
It's just not going to happen.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, she said, well, I want to get to the root of the problem so that we can solve. I go, the root of the problem is you've got a lot of dogs.
Right.
And they have a lot of energy and they each have their own individual issues. That, you know, I mean, dogs have issues. What, you know, we have issues too, I suppose. But, you know, the more, I think sometimes people don't realize, you know, every time you add an animal into the mix, it's not just like, you have one dog, now you have two dogs. You actually have the energy maybe of a third invisible dog because of the interaction. So it's not just the one, the two. It's the how do they're going to do things together that each one individually wouldn't even think of doing.
Yep, exactly.
I mean, I had a Dutch Shepherd who was kind of big for a Dutch Shepherd, but he was 7 years old. He never dug a hole in his entire life until I got a mini Aussie who was much smaller than him and taught him how to dig holes. And she would get him to team up with her so they could bigger holes. You know? And she was like, there's a groundhog in there, Merritt. Let's get to it. Oh, hey, I never thought of that. Great plan. Well, if I had never gotten my mini Aussie, he would have probably lived his entire life never digging a hole.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then you add a different dog and then they're going to do this and another one and that. It's just like, you know, and so if you're going to do that, well, okay. You know, the most number of dogs I ever had was eight. And I don't think I want to do that again.
No, I had six and that was like done. I'm so done.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it becomes difficult and some dogs are easier than others, but you know, I had eight dogs because I was helping foster and place and doing rescue.
Right,
right. This one's not placeable. Oh, I guess who's going to keep that one? This one's the toughest one in the litter. I place everybody in the litter, but this one's staying with me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, forget it. Okay.
I
don't know. Do we need to go to another break? I think we need to go to another break. Okay, Liz.
Right, I'm going to run because I've got to go do some stuff on the other
side. Okay. Well,
here,
hopefully we'll get you in person. Okay.
Yes. I will talk to you very soon.
Okay. Take care. Talk to
you
later.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Ooh, as to what you putting down, but how come my dog don't bark when you come around?
Hello, and welcome back to WTIC's Pet Talk. We're coming right up to the top of the hour. The show is almost over. So if you want to talk to me, probably the best bet would be to either wait until the next time I'm on the air, which I post on my website, LoriFassDogTraining.com, or you can contact me off the air, which I'm more than happy to talk to you. You can send me an email, you can give me a call, and all my contact information, again, is on my website, LoriFassDogTraining.com. And when I'm going to be on the air here is going to be on there. When I'm teaching my groups is on there. Some training tips, all sorts of interesting stuff. So I like all kinds of animals, not just domestic animals. As a matter of fact, I used to volunteer at a zoo in Syracuse, New York, when I lived up in that neck of the woods. And I was aware of this, but I was just researching this, and I'm just throwing it out there as something you might want to do. I'm sure a lot of you have heard of a Bengal cat, which is a domestic cat, but it was hybridized and originally came to pass because it was a mix between an Asian leopard cat, which is a little like 8-pound wild cat. But what's interesting is there are so many different wild cats that are as small and in some cases smaller than your domestic house cat. If you saw one of these little wild cats, you would probably think their cat got loose, or you would wonder, what is this cute little thing? Because we think of wild cats as being, you know, bobcats, cougars, tigers, lions, that kind of thing. So I'm just suggesting that if you like animals and you don't know a lot about it, why don't you look up some of the tiny little wild cats that exist in Africa and India and in South America, because they're very adorable and it's very interesting. And most people who like domestic animals like all kinds of animals. So it's not something I'm going to get into listing all the different ones, but it's easy to Google search and it's fun and they are cute and you probably enjoy looking at them. So that's my tip for, you know, entertaining yourself on the internet for today. And I will be back again in May. And next week is going to be Dr. Dennis. So save up whatever medical questions you have that you'd like to have answered for next week. And I'm pretty sure she's going to be here live. So that's about going to wrap up the show for today. Thanks for tuning in and have a great rest of your weekend.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.